Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're here with Brett McKittrick, who's an SVP and Senior HR Consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, which is part of Associated Bank. Brett, good morning. Welcome back to the Thought Leaders Chair.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
Before we get underway, I want to remind people what it is that you do. Give us a thumbnail of what it is you do.
Sure. Well, I'm an attorney and HR consultant. And what that means is I help our clients, employers of all shapes and sizes and all industries, with a lot of HR and risk management issues. So in essence, what we try to do is help remove some of those barriers to entry or some of those barriers preventing companies and even municipalities and public sector entities from doing what they do best, particularly from the employee side of things.
When we have you in, it's always great because we ask you questions from not only an employee's point of view, but an employer's point of view. That way we all get an idea of what these HR issues are and how they affect both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, so nice. You know, there's so much there from a compliance standpoint and marrying that with a cultural and best practice standpoint.
So I want to begin this morning because it's sort of front and center for a lot of people is the coronavirus outbreak, and it's not really impacting the United States that badly yet, but it is elsewhere in the world. What is the employment situation here? So if somebody at work has coronavirus or even is suspected of having it, what does an employer have to do?
Sure. Well, let's back up just a second. You know, OSHA requires employers to what? Provide a safe working environment for all of their employees. And that does extend to, you know, pandemics, right? And highly contagious or infectious diseases. And so something like the coronavirus, the employer first will ask, you know, can we even talk to our employees about it? I think sometimes employers are a little hesitant to talk to their employees about medical situations or issues. And the answer is yes. You know, first of all, you can ask an employee, are you experiencing symptoms in this area? You might know or you may not know if they have been in a place, you know, Asia and China, with regard to potential exposure. The EEOC, that's the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, actually has a pandemic preparedness guidance kit for employers that walks them through what they can do and say from a legal perspective.
Is it more likely that, say, the CDC will come and tell an employer, oh, by the way, Joe Smith is going to be out because he's quarantined?
Well, it's possible that would happen, but the CDC might not know, right? The CDC is only going to know if a person is tested. So what an employer can do is, first of all, if they know someone has been to China or Southeast Asia, or as we grow in this area, other parts of the world, and they ask the employee if they are experiencing symptoms, the employer can actually mandate that that employee stay home, following DHS and CDC's guidance with regard to that 14-day quarantine.
The conversation is important today because the business community is listening right now, and you may have a company, you may be at a company where you have to travel to China or other places. What is the requirement there for a company? Can they still send you to these places, or can you say, no, I don't want to go?
Well, you can say whatever you want, but your job could be at stake. And right now, there's not really a legal protection saying that your employer cannot send you to a dangerous area. You know, it's no different than sending someone to the Middle East during conflict time. So I think it's organizations, employers using their best judgment in that area.
Because they don't want that employee to come back with coronavirus.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's in their best interest, too. All right. Well, we'll put a peg in that because I think we're going to be talking about coronavirus for a while yet. It's kind of bigger now than SARS was, and I remember how that sort of impacted everybody. I want to move on to something else. Using personality assessments in the workplace, this is probably something that in the onboarding process people have probably gone through.
Yeah, absolutely. Employers use personality assessments or integrity tests, as they're sometimes called, with regard to new hires or possibly as they're seeking applicants and looking to hire someone. You know, really, at the base of what these tests hope to achieve, or what employers hope they achieve, is pointing out traits or characteristics or even temperaments that could predict fit or success rate for a particular employee. So we're talking of things like dependability, accountability, integrity, even propensity to exhibit certain behavioral traits.
Do you know that you're being tested? The personality test is underway, or the questions sort of stealth questions?
Yeah, great question. Well, the employee or the prospective employee probably knows something's going on, but a lot of these questions are in, by the way, as AI is taking over and these tests are more algorithmically based, we're seeing a lot of these tests kind of bleed into more along lines of what could constitute a psychological evaluation. So employees may not really fully understand the ramifications of these tests.
What are the legal ramifications here?
Yeah, well, because of that, we have to look at potential discrimination issues. You know, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, you know, it's what protects people from being discriminated against for race, you know, religion, ethnicity, et cetera. Age discrimination in Employment Act, that's important as well. The ADA, the American with Disabilities Act, is actually the big one because, as I mentioned, as some of these tests look more like a psychological evaluation, the question is, do they really constitute a medical exam or not? And the ADA prohibits employers from conducting pre-hire medical examinations. Now, they could do so post-offer, but even those could uncover disabilities that then the employer would have to deal with. And when I say deal with, I mean set aside and not use against that individual.
Yeah. Are there best practices here? Are there, from an HR standpoint, something that everybody's starting to follow?
Yeah, I think employers need to understand a couple of things. One, the potential disparate impact, as I just mentioned, from a discrimination standpoint. Also, two, there is something called the Employee Polygraph Protection Act, which is a U.S. Act that is a law that prohibits private employers from, you know, making employees take a lie detector test. Well, a lot of these tests are coming out with, hey, does this employee or this prospective hire have the propensity to lie? It's an integrity test that is really kind of steery, almost like diagnosing an individual as to whether or not they will be truthful or what their veracity level actually is. So while those kind of tests don't necessarily violate that Act in and of itself, there are many states that have their own version of that, particularly Massachusetts and Minnesota, that may prohibit employers from using some of those even diagnostic tests.
Yeah, I haven't thought about this, but I've never heard of people being hooked up to a polygraph test when they're at a job interview, but I guess there's nothing to stop an employer from doing that, is there?
Well, there is. The law does stop an employer from hooking someone up to a polygraph test.
Okay.
But to your point, someone could use one of these integrity tests or personality assessments to kind of gauge someone's veracity.
So from an employee standpoint, what's the best practice for an employee wading through all of this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, do you lie or not lie, right?
Yeah. Just be honest.
Yeah, you should be honest. But the reality is, I think an employee should talk to the employer about how they will use these tests. I mean, maybe some of the flaws with these tests look like the fact that they are trait-based, and traits are static, right? They're not mobile. They don't take into account situational occurrences or maybe the environment. And so the employee should be wary of an employer that seeks to pigeonhole them and label them as this certain individual for their entire career. So I think it's just being aware and both the employer and employee on the same page for how these tests will be used.
Because we're in this tight jobs market, I would imagine employers are trying their hardest to find the best possible employees possible. So this seems like a minefield for them to be walking through, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. It is so incredibly difficult to hire and know what you're getting. That's the reality of it. You know, you can throw all the personality tests out there. You can look at all the LinkedIn pages. You can try to find references. But the reality is it's a crapshoot. And I think employers need to understand that there's no one determining factor that's going to be the panacea or the easy button.
Brett, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure. My first name, Brett, dot my last name, MCKITRICK, @associatedbank.com.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.